They're loading into the barriers. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. And they're underway for Moody on the Mic.
Welcome back to a very special edition of Moody on the Mic, the greatest ever Cox Plate edition. The Cox Plate, of course, is being run this weekend, and the greatest ever Cox Plate is an initiative between our good friends at Ladbrokes and a few others. Just to explain how this is all going to work, resident Rayman, just run us through how this all came about and what we can expect to see from a virtual race.
Yeah, it's a really exciting concept, this one, Rog. 11 of the greatest Cox Plate winners of all time will do battle with 3 international wildcards in a virtual race that will be shown on 7.2 and on the Ladbrokes website and app on Friday night, Ladbrokes Manicato Stakes Night. Inspired Entertainment, the company that's put this together, they did the virtual Kentucky Derby earlier this year. They did the virtual Grand National as well. And the graphics they've got, the way they put this together is first class. It really is of the highest possible standard. We had a judging panel that included Gary Chris from Timeform, Greg Carpenter from Racing Victoria, Dean Shannon, CEO at Ladbrokes, and Michael Brow, the CEO of the Moonee Valley Racing Club. They put together this field, and it really is packed full of superstars. So really looking forward to this race on Manicato Stakes Night, and there's just all the big names you can think of that have won the Cox Plate are there.
Well, actually, there's been a lot of controversy about this field because Twitter has blown up on the horses that didn't make the field. And perhaps, Rog and Rain Man, the quality of this field is best indicated by the horses that missed out.
That's absolutely right, Mytho. We could have run a second heat out. There was that much quality you've got. We could have had Rising Fast, Better Loosen Up, Surround, Superimposed, Bone Crusher, Maccabi Diva. That just shows the quality
Maccabi
of this race.
Diva
that
didn't make
you couldn't get, we couldn't fit them in. Who are you going to kick out of this race? So it just shows the quality of the honour roll of the Cox Plate. It's probably the best honour roll of any race in the country by quite a comfortable margin. So it just shows the overall quality of this field. And, yeah, really looking forward to it.
Why do we need 3 international wildcards? I know they're great horses, but this is the greatest mile and a quarter weight for age race on the planet. Run at the historical Moonee Valley circuit, won by champions year in, year out, and we've found 3 globetrotters that have been protected in their own backyard to put in our great race. I've got great respect for them, but in their own backyard.
Are you calling the likes? I think Mytho said it last week. Are you calling the likes of Frankel and Deep Impact plotters as well, Moods?
No, I didn't say plotters. I said protections in their own backyard. Frankel never left his own backyard. He raced around his own little lawn. He wouldn't step outside and travel the world. Secretariat was a dirt tracker in America.
Let's run through the runners now. And in saddlecloth order, Deep Impact, of course, one of those internationals who didn't leave its own backyard. Rayman, make the case for Deep Impact, first of all, being this field, but to win the greatest ever Cox Plate.
Deep Impact did, in fact, leave his backyard. Rain in the Arc de Triomphe in France. Didn't win, though, and did test positive to a banned substance. So wasn't a great trip outside its own backyard. But obviously, Deep Impact is mostly known to Australian racing fans. Superstar, and he's produced many a top quality horse. He's produced many Group 1 winners right around the world, including in Australia. But he was a very serious racehorse in his own right as well. Won the Triple Crown in Japan as a 3-year-old. Went on to win the Japan Cup. He won all the big races in Japan as well. He's a very, very talented horse and just an absolute beast of an animal. His best form was probably over a little bit longer than 2,000 metres, but a very talented horse that definitely deserves his international wildcard in this field.
Funnily enough, he was a beast in his results, but he wasn't a beast physically, Deep Impact. He's actually quite unfortunately passed away in the last 18 months, but was quite a insignificant looking horse that was able to perform so well and then go on. The deeds, you know, we breed to these beautiful looking stallions hoping for the beautiful horse, but Deep Impact actually wasn't that and had to do it the hard way early on, although his racetrack efforts made sure that he got the best book of mares possible. So, look, I've got him as rated a better stallion than horse, even though he was a gun racehorse. He's not for me.
How do you reckon he would have handled the Valley Moods?
Well, listen, he's a small, insignificant physical type, as Anthony said. So he was well, listen, all the horses here think he would run well in it. Yes, Deep Impact. A few of the fillies here would have liked to have visited him as a stallion, but I, with Anthony, think Deep Impact was probably on the scene before Japanese horses were recognised as some of the best in the world. So we probably never really got the opportunity to assess him on a world stage, even though he ran in an arc. So Deep Impact, a stallion for mine, not a racehorse. No, he doesn't win our Cox Plate.
Saddlecloth number two, not coming as far as Japan, but from Western Australia, Northerly comes around here. Of course, Northerly famously won two Cox Plates in 2001 and 2002, and a favourite horse of many, Rayman.
Yes, it shows the overall quality of this race, the Ludbrokes Greatest Ever Cox Plate, that a horse the quality of Northerly is the $41 outsider. He was such a tough horse to fight. Won those two Cox Plates. His first Cox Plate, fairly controversial, had to survive a protest from Viscount the three-year-old and Sunline to win that one, but then came out the next year, won that race after having won the Crawford Cup the week before. The disappointing thing with Northerly was that year in 2002 where he's absolutely flying. He didn't get it sent to the Melbourne Cup. He could have been the horse to replicate Rising Fast in 1954 to win the Cox Plate, the Crawford Cup and the Melbourne Cup in the same year, but he's a tough as they come, Northerly. He'll have to be tough to win a race like the Greatest Ever Cox Plate, but a horse I've got a huge amount of respect for.
I'm not sure, Moods, we'd see Northerly going around at $41 in too many races, but that's what we get here.
No, well, listen, he's there for his tenacious fighting tiger efforts, as Greg Miles used to say, the fighting tiger. You know, he's remembered for his tenacity and his toughness. Caulfield Cup win, backing up into a Cox Plate. But what a racehorse he was, and wouldn't you have loved to have had one, you know, that showed half his tenacity. He's not brilliant enough to win this quality of race, but you'd love to have him in your corner every day of the week.
Number three, Saddlecloth, is Frankel, a horse, Moods, that you saw up close and personal the year you were over at Royal Ascot. With Black Caviar, I think he won the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. Queen Anne by 11 lengths that week. It was at the start of the week. Black Caviar was the end of the week. And he certainly, no surprise to see him go around $5.50 in this race. You would think he would be right among the leading contenders if he did come out to Australia and race.
Oh, listen, he was an absolute superstar, but probably more better known as a miler for mine, Frankel. That win in the Queen Anne, I actually was able to be there on track and watch that, and it was one of the most exciting, breathtaking wins that I've ever seen. But when the pressure goes on, 800, 1,000 out in a Cox Plate and really handlebars down and, you know, foot to the floor, where does it leave a horse like Frankel? He was brilliant, but he quite often had a pacemaker and things were set up and rolling small fields and not pressured in a situation. You know, where's he going to be locked, you know, maybe two or three back the fence? Have we seen the barrier draw yet?
He's in barrier one.
Frankel is in barrier one. So I think, yeah, he'll be exactly where you said, Moods.
Yeah, three back the fence when the handlebars go down at the 800 or 900, just... You know, I'm not doubting this horse's ability, but I'm doubting his ability to handle the pressure cooker situation of 10 furlongs around the valley, flat to the boards from the 1,000. He's deserved it in the market, but can't have him or his jockey from the draw around the valley.
The horse was a freak. You could have sent him for any race whatsoever and he would have got the job done. He won the Judmont International Stakes in dominant fashion. He won the Champion Stakes in dominant fashion. The
horse, how many in that field, though? How many in that field? How many?
Doesn't matter. Black Caviar wasn't beating many horses either, but she was so good, she scared them away. The same with Frankel. It was, you can only beat what's put in front of you, and Frankel did that every single time he went to the races. He's one of the best horses we've ever seen. Him and Black Caviar are the two best horses I've ever seen, and it's not close, and I think he's going to be bloody hard to beat in this race.
And there's no doubt Rain Man got him elevated into the race.
I did not have a say.
Saddlecloth number four is The Great Might and Power. And before we get to Rain Man's thoughts on Might and Power, we're going to be joined now by the jockey, one of our favourites here at Moody on the Mic, the pumper himself, led and won on the Great One, Jimmy Cassidy. G'day, mate.
Hello, lads. How are we all?
We're going very well. How do you reckon Might and Power would go up against the greatest racehorses of all time in the greatest ever Cox Plate?
Well, I've always said I think anything around right back to the great Kingston Town, I think he would have held his own running time. I know champions can only run time, and he had to do it to be achieve what he accomplished. So in a race like that, is he good enough to beat a couple of them other world-class champions themselves? I don't know, but by gee, round the valley, they hadn't been there. He has. They're having their first crack at it, aren't they?
Well, some of them certainly are. Rain Man, have you, when you map this race, do you have Might and Power leading?
Yeah, I think Pumper has made it very, very clear. He would not let any horse in the world lead him on Might and Power. So I think Might and Power will be going straight to the front here. He's sort of the first champion horse I remember, Might and Power. I saw some very good horses when I was very young. Like Saintly was my favourite, but Might and Power came along. He won that Caulfield Cup in such dominant fashion. His Melbourne Cup win over Doremus was still one of the most memorable additions. And then he sort of went to another level again when he won the Cox Plate. So he's a horse that means a lot to me, obviously means a lot more to Pumper. And he's another horse that I think is right in this contest and does represent a little bit of value in his current quote.
And Moods, trainer of Might and Power, if you were trainer of Might and Power, would you have let Jimmy Cassidy do his own thing like he tended to do?
Well, Jack Denham is one of the great trainers of Australian folklore. He didn't have the bells and whistles or the airs and graces of Tommy Smith or Bart Cummings or C.S. Hayes, but his horses were as tough as him, tough as old boots, and probably him and Pumper going toe-to-toe would have been an interesting argument, but you're not going to tie down, what was the great line, good jockeys don't need instructions, bad ones don't listen, so I let Pumper do his own thing.
And to coin a Moody on the mic phrase, let fast horses run fast. And that's exactly what Pumper did. I remember being there down trackside right on the finishing post, almost touching the Moody Valley grass when Might and Power straightened up in that short straight at Moody Valley. And the earth started to rumble, Pumper. It was an unbelievable call, an unbelievable feeling. Can you take us through that feeling when you knew you had the Cox Plate won and that that amphitheatre of people and the cacophony of noise hit you in the face when you straightened up. Just tell us about that.
Yeah, well, it was funny before because I'd been speaking to the caller and he said to me, he said, what do you think? And I said, well, Shane thinks he's going to turn it upside down with Tycoon Lil. I said, as long as I dictate the Cox Plate, I said, I win, no matter what. And I'd already ridden a race earlier, I thought if I ride him to run a course record, which he's got to do, champions can do that, and I rode him that way. I rode him hard from 1,000 and made it a chase, and he broke my heart that day, and he was able to do that. You hear the crowd on the corner, you don't know whether something's coming at you, obviously, you're not looking back, and it's an amazing feeling. Capacity, full house that day, 40,000, and great feeling to lead and win, and amazing to listen to the great call after the race.
And Pumper, confidence isn't something that you particularly lack, so I'm just going to roll a few names at you and tell me whether you can beat them around the valley on Might and Power. Frankel.
Yes.
Okay. Tullock.
Maybe he's my top pick. I never seen him. I've seen videos. The belief from the older generation that lot say they've never seen one like him.
So you think?
Yes.
Kingston Town.
Yes.
Farlap.
No.
And Winx.
Yes.
Okay, so we've got second in the greatest ever Cox Plate behind Farlap.
Yep.
Beautiful. Pumper, thanks very much for talking to us on Moody on the Mic and the greatest ever Cox Plate where you are riding back in the saddle, Jimmy Pumper Cassidy, back in the saddle on Might and Power. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Pumper.
Narrow the field with Ladbrokes Easy Form. Place form-driven multis or singles without ever having to study a guide. Create your ideal bet using a range of form filters, including runner stats, jockey, trainer and track. or choose from market movers and favourite runners. Available on all Australian and New Zealand thoroughbred greyhound and harness races, Ladbrokes Easy Form does the hard work for you. Ladbrokes. Back yourself. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Number five in the race book is Gunsend, which, of course, was a Queenslander like your good self, Moods.
The Gundawindi Grey, you know, what a hell of a horse. Probably better known as a handicapper. I know he was a multiple weight for age winner, but probably better known as a handicapper. He's a little bit of the northerly flavour. He's the romance of the race. Roy Higgins, Gunsin, you know, he's going to bow to the crowd as he walks out onto the track, as he did most times he ever graced the turf. You know, what a great horse. Does he win a genuine weight for age superstar packed Cox Plate? Not for mine, but, you know, what a wonderful story to see him and Roy Higgins salute. It would be, but I couldn't see it happening. You know, it's sad to suggest a great iconic horse like Gunsin and the likes of Northerly. You want to talk them down in a race like this, but that's the fact of the race and that's the quality of the race.
Yeah, I think Moods has got this horse spot on. A very popular horse. He's done a big he loves Queensland cheering, but incredibly, I'm not quite sure he's got the class to win a race of this quality, as Moods said.
Number six in race book order, Tullock, of course, had to wait until he was a six-year-old before he got a crack at the Cox Plate. But at the time, he broke the Australian record, I see, for over the 10 furlongs, Raymair.
Yeah, this horse, Tullock, is another horse that can't be labelled as a freak. Was a star two-year-old, a star three-year-old, won everything there is to win as a three-year-old, basically, and then had a virus that almost killed him. He missed 2 years of racing, but then was able to come back and win more races, including the Cox Plate. So at his best, he's right up there with the best horses we've ever seen in Australia. The way he was a horse that ran time as well. He didn't smash a lot of the track records and race records at the time he was running were held by Farlap, and Tullock obliterated a lot of those records. So he's a genuine freak. And I'd like to hear what Moods thinks about how tough would it have been to get a horse back from 2 years out to get him back to winning a race like the Cox Plate.
What'll make your stomach churn, Rain Man, is the way they saved Tullock after treatment after treatment after treatment to rescue Tullock from his death's bed. I can't recall if it was the great Percy Sykes or one of his fellow veterinarians, but they ended up drenching the horse with his own manure. Stomach drenched the horse with his own manure to rectify his problems after using various different things to try and rectify his illnesses. But listen, he is an absolute freakish racehorse. Tullock for mine is right up there in this race. Like you said, what he did at 2 and 3, trained by the great TJ Smith, I would presume, who's in the saddle, George Moore or Athol Mully?
Neville Selwood's riding Tullock. Neville, he rode him to victory in the Cox Plate.
Neville Selwood, sorry. Yeah, well, listen, he's in this race up to his ears. Tullock, undeniable, you know, 7 furlongs to 2 mile. sensationally scratched from a Melbourne Cup after winning the Caulfield Cup as a three-year-old. Saved the doubles bookies an absolute fortune that year. And, you know, yep, superstar. He's in the mix. He's in the frame for mine. The judges will be discussing his number at the business end of this race.
A horse that you, if you're writing a book about, and if you haven't read it, you should. A horse that I reckon there's only two horses that I would have loved to have seen race. You know, Farlap being the number one for all Australians, obviously, and I think Tullock sits in that sort of genre as well. Just such a tough horse to go through what he did and smashed them after that three-year-old spring. Went to the Autumn AJC Derby and won that in record style, destroying Farlap's record in the time to the race record in that race. Just an amazing horse, and I want to be with him at each way at $8. Rain Man, he's for me.
All right, number seven in race book order. So You Think, of course, a two-time Cox Plate winner, one of my favourite horses, a super stallion as well from Mytho, not for Mytho, but a super stallion indeed. And So You Think, it's $16. So I think it's just a value runner here.
Yeah, he's probably a horse that's been a little bit underrated in recent years because he came along in that period just before Black Caviar, who was then just before Winks. And So You Think sort of got forgotten a little bit along the wayside. But at one point, he was probably the best horse in the world. He won the Cox Plate in just his fifth race start. A little plug for Mytho. He was beaten in the Caulfield Guineas by Star Spangled Banner before Mytho gets that in. Comes out and wins the Cox Plate in his fifth race start. Has a throat operation. Then comes back the next spring and is able to win a second Cox Plate in just his 10th race start. And if they hadn't sent him to Ireland to go with Aidan O'Brien, this horse could have won four Cox Plates in a row before Winks even came along, because there's no doubt he wins the year following when Pinker Pinker won. And then 2012 against Ocean Park, Piero, All Too Hard, he would have been in that race up to his eyeballs as well. He was a horse that did go to Europe. Some people sort of question how well he went in Europe, but he still won five Group 1s over there, including a Prince of Wales Stakes. Wasn't beaten far in Arc de Triomphe, wasn't beaten far in a Breeders' Cup. So he's an outstanding horse. So and I'm with you, Roger. I think he might be some value here.
Yeah, listen, he was a mighty racehorse, wasn't he? Arguably, you suggest that he won two Cox Plates in Australia, but did we get to see the best of him in Australia? As a mature horse, he took that form overseas, and as Rain Man rightly said, five Group 1s over there. And no doubt he probably struggled a little bit maybe in the Aidan O'Brien environment where they looked to set up pacemakers and that for him. But he was such a brilliant horse, he didn't need them. He set his own pace. And I see him probably sitting just off Might and Power in this race. Jimmy Cassidy's going to, you know, bear his molars to the breeze here on Might and Power and really get them running along. And So You Think, in his three-year-old year with very little weight in his back, might be the one just to collar Might and Power on the line for third place for mine.
Well, I note with interest, and that's what's pulled me up on him, Moods. He's been allocated four-year-old status, so he doesn't get that weight relief in this race because he won it at three and four. So I was going to be with him. If he was weighted as a three-year-old, I'd be with So You Think. But what a beautiful horse, beautiful forelock. He's already produced five or six Group 1 winners as a sire now. But, $16, bit of value.
Yeah, good point, Mytho. The horses that won the Cox Plate multiple times were put into the race based on their highest rated effort in the Cox Plate. So he rated a lot higher as a four-year-old with his four-year-old win.
Well, just a correction for me. He doesn't quite collar Might and Power for third. He'll run a close-up fourth behind Might and Power. With his three-year-old weight advantage, I would have had him nutting Might and Power on the line for third.
Number eight, Kingston Town, of course, a three-time Cox Plate winner. The absolute champion of the race before Winks came along and bettered his record. But Kingston Town goes around at double-figure odds, Rain Man.
Yeah, not many times you could get $10 for Kingston Town. He's a horse that are people of a certain generation in Australian racing. He just seems to be everyone's favourite horse around, a little bit older than myself. So he's obviously a horse that had a great record at the Valley, a great record in the Cox Plate, and obviously cannot be discounted in a race like this.
Stupid to suggest a horse that won three Cox Plates struggled around Moonee Valley and struggled the Melbourne direction. I think that's going to count against him in this race. If the race run at Randwick, he's the one to beat. It's run at Moonee Valley. He won three of them, but he struggled each and every time to get round the track. He's probably fourth, fifth pick for mine. Absolute superstar, outstanding racehorse.
Can't believe I'm going to say this, but in the words of Bill Collins, Kingston Town can't win.
This spring, Ladbrokes is changing the way you multi, putting the power in your hands and giving you more chances to win. With our new split and blended features, load up your multi-legs with runners from the same race, and if any of them get up, you win. Get all the racing multi-combinations you want done in one. Ladbrokes. Back yourself.
Minimum price $1.10 for blended leg. T's and C's apply. See website for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Number nine, Dulcifier for the great C.S. Hayes, $26.
Yeah, C.S. Hayes said that Dulcifier was the best horse he ever trained, which is quite the compliment coming from him, considering the superstars that were in that stable. Before Winks came along, no horse had ever won the Cox Plate by a greater margin. And he's a horse we probably didn't see the best of, because unfortunately he broke down in the Melbourne Cup after his Cox Plate victory and had to be put down. But absolute star. Not quite sure he's quite up to the best horse in this race, but a horse with plenty of ability.
Outstanding racehorse. You cannot dismiss him off that mighty effort when he won that year. But for mine, he's probably, he and Kingston Town are hitting the line close together, just behind the place getters.
Number 10 in the race book is Tobin Bronze, another dual Cox Plate winner, but going around at $26 as well, Rain Man.
Yeah, I can say that Tobin Bronze, of all the horses in the field, has been the least popular of punters early. I think he's being a little bit underrated here, Tobin Bronze. He was another horse that was just a genuine star, absolutely dominated racing, during, especially during 1967. 1966, he had a lot of Galilee. It takes a special horse to win the Cox Plate twice. It takes a very special horse to win the Cox Plate and the Crawford Cup in the same year. So he needs to be respected.
Another absolute champion of his era. Just wonder, with the turn of foot of some of these others around the valley, you know, he's just behind them. You know, how do you dismiss such a great horse? But I just don't think he's got the brilliance to probably win this race.
Barriers have crawled in here. He's got the visitor's draw, and I can't have him out of barrier 14 if we're trying to speed map the race there, Rog.
The second favourite in the market, or third favourite in the market with Ladbrokes, number 11, is a horse that no one punting on this race, I don't think, would have ever seen race. And that is the great Farlap at $6.
Yeah, what more can you say about Farlap? He's a national icon. He's an icon of two nations, really. what he did, Melbourne Cup week, where he comes out and he won a different race all 4 days of the Melbourne Cup Carnival. If you try to do that with a horse these days, you'd be called absolutely mad. He was the first horse to win the Cox Plate twice. And obviously, like, there's not much we can say about him. Everyone knows just how good this horse is, or was.
This is a horse that carried a nation through a depression. An absolute freak. You know, how do you not elevate him to legendary status in our legendary wait for age race? But once again, for mine, along with the likes of Kingston Town and Dulcify, he's a horse that was going to be better suited at Flemington. His four greatest wins were probably in that 1 week at Flemington and Cup Week. So I just think there'll be more nippier than him around the valley at the mile and a quarter. Run the race at Flemington, he's the horse to beat.
I just can't have him getting beaten. It would be un-Australian to have Farlap get beaten in this race, but there's so much quality, and it'll be really interesting to see how those that decide rate this horse in this race. Is it a popularity contest? I don't think so. It's done on ratings and numbers. So for that reason, I can see him getting beaten, but popularity contest, Farlap by lengths of the Flemington Straight or Moonee Valley Straight.
Yeah, not a popularity contest. Otherwise, I think Farlap would be a $1.50 favourite. All the ratings done by Gary Crispin, plugged into a very fancy algorithm. So he's obviously not a popularity contest, but he's still going to be bloody hard to beat.
The favourite for this race, and it's not a recency bias, it's the fact she won four of the bloody things. And that is Winx, going around at $4.50. Hugh Bowman, Chris Waller, the mighty mare who we last saw race just over about a year and a half ago. She is the queen of Moonee Valley, undisputedly, Rain Man. And if the punters come for her yet again, because I don't think we saw $4.50 about Winx for about the last 3 years of her career.
No, not for the first time. Ladbrokes punters have jumped out of trees to back the great mare Winx. She opened $5 equal favourite with Frank. We had to wind move her into $4.50. She currently accounts for half the hold on the race. She's just been very, very popular. And that's a good point, Rog. Last time you had about $4.50 available for Winx to win a race was when she won her first Cox Plate in 2015. And even then, she was well backed. She started short on the $4.50. So I've made it clear on social media, I've already received some attack that I'm against Winx in this race. I don't think she can win. I'm happy to take her on and bet around her, but she was obviously a champion. It takes a bloody good horse to win a Cox Plate four times. So I'm not knocking the horse. I just think there's other horses I'd rather be on in this contest.
And Moods, you famously stepped out of training because you didn't want to train against Winx while she was running.
I don't know about that, Rog. For mine, I know it's easy to select her because she's a four-time winner and the most modern champion. But for mine, Winx is the winner. What sets her apart from these other great horses is she can run champion sprinters sectionals in a 2,000 metre race. These other great horses couldn't. They can't run 10-2s and 10-3s in the middle of a 2,000 metre race or from the 400 to the 200 in a 2,000 metre race. They can grind it out, but they cannot quicken like her. And particularly the way she quickened around the valley. When Kingston Town and Dulcify and some of those great champions, Gun Sin and all that, are going to be wobbling at the 600 thinking about getting around that home turn, she's going to run a 10-2 or a 10-1 section and put three on them
and they won't be able to get her. We've seen her gap them time and again in those four great wins at the Valley. She put the race beyond doubt on the turn, and she was just too brilliant. And when Bowman asked her to quicken, those great champions won't be able to quicken with her because she had the best turn of foot of all of them. For mine, I know it's easy. She won four. She's our modern day champion, but she is the best and she is the winner.
Yeah, it's very hard to go past that compelling argument. I'm really confused now. Bad barriers, bad luck. She overcame all of that. So that can't be a factor here out of barrier 12. You got to put her in your multiples.
She had the ability to quicken herself out of trouble. Not many horses could do that. And that brilliant turn of foot takes away bad luck for her.
Number 13, unlucky for some, not for this great champion. One of my absolute favourites, one of my first loves of horse racing, the 1999 and 2000 winner. And you could argue a case that she probably could have won three, and that is Sunline.
Yeah, another great mare, Rog. Another very popular mare. Probably the knock on Sunline in this race is that she is one of the only horses in this field that went into a Cox Plate and failed to win it. She was beaten by Northerly controversially the first year, then was past her best when she came back the year after. So that's probably the knock on her in a race like this, but another horse you can't really knock.
An absolute superstar, but for mine, Might and Power and So You Think up on the speed make it too hard for Sunline. Surprised she got into the field along with her great sparring partner, Northerly. Brilliant champion racehorses, but I thought there was probably a couple better that were left at home in the stable when they put together this great field.
And the final runner in the race, the lightweight, coming in at 56.5 kilos, number 14, barrier 13, Secretariat, the Triple Crown winner from the United States.
Yeah, he's the X factor in this race for me, Rog. He's a horse that's famous right around the world, but not only did he win the Triple Crown, he broke the race records in all of them, and those race records still stand all this time later. So it just shows that you could bring Secretariat out now and he'd still be able to run those sort of times. So he's winning the Belmont Stakes when he won by 31 lengths is nothing short of incredible. That's more than three times the winning margin of lengths in her most memorable Cox Plate win in 2016. So an absolute equine superstar. And obviously, turf is unknown. Mooney Valley is an unknown, but he's a freak.
Champion racehorse, absolute superstar of his time. But, you know, how do you recognise that against, mile and a quarter on turf around the valley? Too many unknowns for mine. Appreciate what a great horse he was, but I can't assess him in this race, unfortunately.
Yeah, the best I can offer here, go on YouTube, the Belmont Stakes, where Secretary by that 30 lengths, Rain Man, it was unbelievable. And that gives you a look at Secretariat at his very best. But I'm with Moods. Dirt track versus turf track. I can't see him winning.
How did the form work out of that Belmont Stakes? Did the second horse come out and win one?
I'm sure he did somewhere along the way.
If you do want to have a bet on the Ladbrokes greatest ever Cox Plate, go to ladbrokes.com.au. Down the left-hand side, you'll see the quick links and you'll see greatest ever Cox Plate. You can get on there. It will be run on Friday night and you can see it all on Channel 7. Of course, Channel 7 broadcasting the Manukato Stakes Night on their main channel for the first time in 7 years. So, as mentioned, tune in. A great night of racing it will be. A great weekend of racing it will be. And if you do want to have a bet on the greatest ever Cox Plate, just go to ladbrokes.com.au.
Ladbrokes, back yourself.